What turns on a killer is the suffering and death of another human being. And as his determination builds to take another life, he plans in obsessive detail what props he'll bring, what knots he'll tie. Let me ask you guys something. What turns you on?
Welcome to Canvas and Crime, your ultimate destination for true crime and horror merchandise. Meet Elizabeth, the creative force behind canvasandcrime.com. She combined her passion for painting with her fascination for true crime and horror, giving birth to this unique shop.
You're looking for an intelligent white male, 20 to 30 years old, socially functional.
Are you a fan of serial killer memorabilia? You're in luck. Canvas and Crime has an incredible selection, from iconic mugs featuring notorious figures like Ted Bundy and the Zodiac Killer, to killer shot glass sets that showcase your favorite serial killers.
All I know to do is change your locks, tighten up your security, and pray.
But that's not all. You can also find custom prints of your most loved serial killer, adding a personal touch to your collection. For the most entertaining serial killer merchandise, look no further than canvasandcrime.com. Support a small business and dive into the chilling fun. Shop today, and don't forget to follow Canvas and Crime on YouTube as well.
Are you intrigued by conspiracy theories and the strange, dark, and mysterious? If so, we invite you to subscribe to our new podcast, The Truth Behind the Lies, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Do you love podcasts and classic television? Do you want to listen to Secrets Uncovered, the Truth Behind the Lies podcast and rant radio, completely ad-free? At Limitless Broadcasting Network, we bring you all your favorites like The Carol Burnett Show, Alfred Hitchcock Presents, and I Love Lucy without any interruptions. For just $7 a month and $80 a year, you can unlock over 90 hours of quality television and podcast programming. Don't miss out. Subscribe today at limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com, where endless entertainment awaits.
We have 9/11. It kind of reminds me of when Pearl Harbor happened. Or because that was, the president knew Pearl Harbor was going to happen before it happened. And it was just an excuse for us to get into the war. Just like
they knew that these planes were going to be hijacked well before they were hijacked.
Right. And people,
I'm not so sure
the government that. But they would get in trouble or they would get arrested if they tried to stop it.
Well, because they needed it.
Right.
And they're, you know, I personally, could they have put those planes into the buildings? Absolutely. Do I believe the planes are what brought down the buildings? I do not. Do I think that there was something else added to these planes as they went in? Most likely. Or did they have, you know, directed energy strikes? Did they have missiles? Did they have bombs implanted in the planes as they were flown in? I think most of the passengers on these planes were incapacitated. There were reports. I can't remember which plane it was. This lady got a phone call out. And she said there was gas coming out of the vents. She was trying to call her husband, and she was talking about there was gas coming out of the vents and people were falling unconscious. So,
we can find that. I never heard that.
You didn't hear about that one?
I did not hear about that. Tell me more about that.
That was covered on Alex Jones's show.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's the king of covering the 9/11 conspiracies and stuff.
It's hard to find these days.
I think a lot of the 9/11
stuff has been scrubbed out.
Absolutely. Just looking up stuff for this episode, you find a lot of debunked conspiracy theories. You can't really find anything that actually shows you a spot for true conspiracy theories. It'll give you a list, but it'll tell you the debunked.
Right.
You know.
Right. No, I agree 100%. Looking up this, trying to figure out like what's A to B, when the president knew stuff, when he didn't know stuff, just how the buildings fell. Well, I was watching a video. Demolition. It was steel can't melt, and don't you remember
steel when can they said, melt, but not but at a not certain, at that temperature.
Not at that temperature. So at a certain temperature, it will melt. But like when the plane hit it and they were like, all this fuel helped it melt. That's not true. It's not hot enough.
But they said that it got hot enough to weaken the steel. Okay, I'll give you that. If it weakened with the winds, it doesn't matter how calm a day it is. The wind that those buildings have hitting it at all times.
Oh, for sure.
If it weakened, it would have collapsed like that.
Right.
And it would have taken out all kinds of people in buildings. Right. It wouldn't have come down.
It's
going to
collapse the side since people can't see you. So it's going to collapse to the side.
It wouldn't have pancaked like that. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't have come like
straight down. It would have collapsed to the side.
Right. So I don't buy it. I never have. And most of the people who have heard these stories or were around during it don't believe it either.
Right.
Well, it doesn't matter. You can prove any theory. If you throw enough money at it and find the right people to scream about it, you can prove any side of your story.
Absolutely. And
I believe that they have just found, you know, quack scientists who say that, you know, the planes themselves were the ones that took down the buildings. You
right.
know what I mean? Like the jet fuel and the paper and cardboard, whatever else was inside there, was enough to bring down those buildings.
Right. Are you fighting with your dog?
I am.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Is she trying to play with you?
While I'm on, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what my dogs try to do. So 9/11, all the what do you think their agenda was? Do you think it was overall the Patriot Act and then going into Baghdad?
I think it was a multi-faceted plan. I think that in order to get everybody on board with being able to do such a...
So you needed something to happen.
In order to do some kind of attack like that and to get people on... Because, I mean, we're talking about a domestic attack.
Right.
A very large domestic attack. We're not just talking about the Twin Towers. We're talking about putting the Pentagon into it. And then the other plane that went over, what was it, Pennsylvania that went down?
Yeah, there were supposed to be like four planes.
Yep.
One went over Pennsylvania. One was going, and then they said a plane hit the Pentagon.
Yep.
But did you hear the reporter say, there's no plane here? There's right. nothing. There's no Somebody plane there. Live and on plus, air saying that.
The hole where the plane supposedly went into the Pentagon was too small.
Right.
It's too small. There's no way that a Boeing 747 would have made that small of an impact.
Plus, right.
We're talking about DC. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You There's mean no restricted way. Airfields there are in DC?
Do you if know you how come within a certain amount of miles, they'll shoot you down regardless if you're a commercial airline or not.
Right.
You're getting shot down.
Absolutely.
So you're telling me a commercial plane made it that far without fighter jets being scrambled and being right alongside that thing and taking it down if they had to? No. Give me a
somebody who should have known about this. Like you
everybody
can't
knew about it. We're talking about radar.
Right.
Just radar. Just primitive radar. Damn plane when it was 300-400 miles away from it. They knew the trajectory it was on. They knew exactly where it was going.
Why do you think they didn't do that? Why did scrambled jets and shot it down?
They did. I'm sure they did. That plane didn't hit the Pentagon. They used that as a distraction.
As a distraction for something else.
And had a missile strike that hit the Pentagon. That's the only thing that could have moved fast enough and create that kind of damage and get past our defenses and do the damage it did to the Pentagon. They used a smart bomb, a smart missile that went in there and just, boom, took it out. That was it.
Do you remember right after 9/11, any cameras, like any buildings, like if you're a 7-Eleven and you had a camera facing in there,
it's all confiscated.
Yeah, they went in there and confiscated all the video right after the attack.
Right.
And they did it to every store.
Yes, they did.
Why would they do that? Because they want something covered up.
Yep. They're afraid of what people might see or what might get released. And during that time period, you know, our technology wasn't what it is. There was no way to instantly share it.
Right.
Today, you could there's no way you could get away with
Facebook.
That. Right.
What was the poppin' social media platform back then? I don't even think we had one yet.
MySpace?
I think it was MySpace. Yeah. But I don't even think people were sharing this on MySpace.
No, there really wasn't much. Nobody was doing that kind of stuff, you know?
Right.
I mean, your cell phones, we still had, you know, one button scroll through your letters on top of the number to try and send a text.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely.
So, yeah, that was a different time period.
It's been confirmed that MySpace was the key social media back in those days. So, thank you for the confirmation, Samantha. So, I got a text. She was like, oh, it's MySpace.
Yep.
So, can you imagine being in the building at this time? And like the people that were there.
Oh, yeah.
They were just like hopping out of the windows. What do you think their last thought was? Like, I'm going to die.
One way or another, I'm going to die. So, I'm going to go at my hands. Either I'm going to burn alive or I'm going to...
I'm assuming that's why people jumped.
Yep.
Because the fire was so. So it went into like the first plane got hit like the 52nd floor or the 60th floor. And the other plane hit like.
Well, see, here's the thing. 25th
floor.
There wasn't really fire. You can watch any videos of that at all. You see some smoke,
right?
Because there is a little bit, but it's not like it was a roaring, you know, fire that was stopping people from getting out. Those planes hit stairwells. They hit elevators and stairwells. They blocked off those damn they blocked off the exit, so all those people were trapped.
Right. So before the actual attacks happened, I hear they were working on the elevators with armed guards around them, like days before it happened. And people are like, that's weird. Why do these technicians need all these armed guards around them? Why are they working?
So they could disable all the methods of escape for all these people.
Right.
You know, you can take down a building, but if you know, it's a tragedy if the building goes down, but it is a true disaster if the loss of human life is enormous.
Right. You know, and that's why we want as much loss of life that day. Almost 3,000 people were killed.
Human life means nothing to these people.
Absolutely not. Nothing. We're both expendable. Highly expendable.
It's not just us both. It's everybody on this planet. There are the haves and then there are the have nots. They believe that they are entitled to everything, and we are the serfs. You know, we are the ones that if you know that expression, in order to make an omelet you have to break a few eggs. We're their eggs, and they don't care how many eggs they break. I mean, they just don't. That's where human resources comes from. You know,
right.
We're just a resource.
Right. You know?
We're the dumb breeders, you know what I mean? So
right. Right. No,
that's
absolutely
the way they look at us.
People in the building on 9/11, the people that got out, they kept saying they heard pops, pop, 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 pop.
Uh-huh.
Before like big explosions happen.
Yeah, it's the explosions. It was the explosives going off, getting ready to detonate the building so it could drop, taking out the support beams.
It
happens at any demolition.
If you look at like when they tore down the Wynn or the Stardust from the casino out in Vegas, it went down the same way the towers went down.
Yeah,
the same identical thing. And then they say, no, a plane did this.
Nope. There's no way. And I mean, anybody who's a rational thinker, I mean, you don't even have to be the smartest person on the planet. If you just look at it logically,
right?
There's no way that makes sense to you. It doesn't matter how many times this is the definition of gaslighting. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And people that actually believe that this happened, I mean, I believe the tragedy happened. I believe the disaster happened.
Right.
That is not, but it's the method that they used to create this disaster.
Right.
And they did it to us. And our own government was complicit in doing this.
Well, it's not the first time the government has been complicit to do things like.
No, not at all.
In Cuba, they were trying to get us into war in Cuba. They were thinking about hijacking some bus and like killing a bunch of people and saying the Cubans did it. And that would have got us to go out to war with Fidel Castro.
Yep.
But for some reason, that didn't happen. Pearl Harbor was an inside job. They knew exactly when the bombs were going to be. I mean, that's confirmed to this day. What else? I mean, the list can go on and on. It kind of reminds me of what we did to the Indians. We were friends with them. And then we gave them all these blankets full of smallpox and everything. And we just wanted their land.
Right.
And so it's kind of something like that.
100% it is.
So what do you think the outcome has been from all this?
The Gulf of Tonkin. That was another one that got us into Vietnam.
Explain that one for the viewers.
For the viewers, Gulf of Tonkin?
Yeah.
It was let's see. Get it right. It's where the United States forces were carrying out covert amphibious operations on the North Vietnamese, and they were blaming it on others to get us into it.
Okay.
To get our involvement in Vietnam, because we were trying to stay out of it.
Right, we were trying to stay neutral.
Yep.
So
it was kind of the same with World War II, you know? We were staying out of that one.
I know, and I agree.
Pearl Harbor hit, and we were in the war.
Yeah. And that they knew exactly if that happened, there would be an outcry of support. And then Americans, have you ever noticed if something happens to this country, we come together. Americans come together and want to fight.
Yeah.
That's one thing that they weren't counting on, especially with 9/11. The unity of being an American was so strong, especially after it went down. Oh, I'm a proud American, and everybody hanging up their flags. They counted on that.
They knew that. They knew that was going to happen. They knew that that was the perfect. They use predictive programming. They know exactly what it takes to push people to get the desired reaction that they want. They knew exactly what to do to get us right where they wanted us. We hook, line, and sinker agreed to the Patriot Act.
Oh, absolutely. We begged for it.
We had that security now, but yes, we gave up all kinds of liberties for it.
They can legally spy on us without warrants. Yeah, they can enter our property without warrants. If they think you're a terrorist, they can hold you indefinitely without going to court because of the Patriot Act.
Well, you got to really read these things because they can't just do this stuff, but it's real easy to classify you as something. It's real easy. I mean, you'd be surprised how loosely they use domestic terror. You know what I mean? They can put that title on anybody, basically.
Well,
because it doesn't take very much to be called a domestic terrorist. Because all you are is if
but that ties into the.
But that was a different.
Ties into the 9/11 as well.
Ish. Yes. He found out the truth about what was going on with the country, and then he decided he was going to do some rectification for it.
And that's how, right.
But, I mean, that's one version of it. The other version is he was an MK Ultra.
True.
You know, he was, what's the word I'm looking for? He was
a Manchurian candidate?
Well, under MK Ultra,
you can
he go was one of one the, one. They just used that kind of mind control programming, right. Round him up, sent him in there, and let him do his thing. I mean, he was the perfect patsy for it.
Right. I mean, we definitely should do an episode on the Oklahoma City bombing because that indirectly ties into all of this. We'll see what you think.
Right.
There's so many, like all these conspiracies are so convoluted. They're all interconnected.
Well, the problem with 9/11 is that so many people died
for greed.
It was greed. I mean,
it was over greed.
It was greed for some. It was over power control and, you know, the ability to spy on us all by some. It was over a family's, you know, butthurt philosophies, you know, that they wanted to get in there and get their name back, you know. Mm-hmm. But also there were items in Iraq that other power structures wanted control of.
Right.
You know, Iraq is supposedly, you know, had a working Stargate, and whoever has control of those Stargates has control of a lot of things. That's interdimensional travel right there.
Right.
Not to mention all the antiquities that proved where civilization began and where we came from. And the truth behind the Anunnaki. And
yeah, that's exactly right. You're talking about the Anunnaki.
And those who control that kind of stuff control the true power. I mean, greed and family vendettas and things like that, that's minor stuff. But it's when you get into the real things, the beginning of our species, you know?
Right.
Controlling the actual
world.
Controlling the implements that help these interdimensional beings go back and forth. You know?
Right.
That's a pretty profound power to have control of, and to have a working one. And I've heard that it's not the only working one, and there's a few of them in the world.
Where would be another one? That was
an easy one for us to get to, because it was already in a conflict area, so that was easy for us to get to.
Was that in the green zone?
Do what?
Was that in the green zone? I feel like it was. I feel like they made a movie that it was like looking for weapons of mass destruction, then they cleared it. But the reason why they went in there was because of the Stargate.
Oh, well, they've made movies about all kinds of stuff like that. But the only weapons of mass destruction were what was found in these libraries and in these museums. And the true information, you know, because the things that were there could have destroyed religion
and brought it down to his knees.
Religion is the main way to control the population.
Right.
I mean, they've been doing it for a millennia. So if you could topple religions by uncovering what was actually documented in their, you know, physically there, just needing to be shown to people, they're never going to let that out.
You know, absolutely, what I mean?
There's no way. The churches make too much money and have too much control over people. And can you imagine what would happen to people if they were to find out that, you know, their belief system isn't exactly what they think it is? And I'm not here to argue theology with anybody like that. I mean, believe what you want to. That's a great thing about this world. You can believe anything you want. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, there are those who believe in that. What is it? The flying spaghetti monster thing. So
you lost me on that. This flying spaghetti monster. What's that?
What are they? Pastafarians?
I don't know.
Yeah. Let's see.
We don't know.
Yeah, Pastafarianism, also known as the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
I'm saying
you can believe in whatever you want.
Right, right.
But if there is proof of the origin, you know, the origination of our species in the Middle East, you know,
they're never going to let that out.
That's not going to be something that is ever going to see the light of day.
Absolutely not.
Not just that's like when they went to Egypt. Every time there's a major archaeological find in Egypt, the governments go in there first.
Right.
And they see what's there before it's allowed to be released to any museum or anywhere like that.
The
Smithsonian is controlled by the government.
And it's very
Have so much stuff that'll never be seen by anybody.
Just like the Vatican does too.
The Vatican's archives are books.
I hear they have a working time machine that they can look into the past. Like have goggles that you look in and you can see the past and what happened. And it's at the Vatican. They have things sealed off that they'll never bring up. You know?
I do know what you're talking about.
That came out couple years ago. A whistleblower came out and was like, yeah, there's a working time machine there. I can't remember what it's actually called.
Chronovisor.
Yes.
The chronovisor.
That you could look in the past.
Well, I'm not saying they do and I'm not saying they don't, but if they go through such trouble to debunk and make sure that we don't ever get the chance to see any of these things, you know, it makes me think that maybe there's some truth to it.
So you don't ever think there'll be a time where all this stuff, it just comes out and says, yep, aliens are real. Everything that we've came out and said is a lie. There's people on Mars. Well, we have bases on Mars. All this.
They're working on. I mean, there are some things that are coming out that they have to. It's just getting too hard to control. The way the genie is almost out of the bottle and they can't put it back in. They're starting to have to. Extraterrestrials. They're slowly starting to admit.
They're there. They're real.
They've told us for 100 years that, you know, there's no such thing as aliens. You know, don't believe this. Don't believe that. If they go back and completely say, you know what, hey, we lied to you. This is what we found. This is what's here. They lose all credibility. People will be in an uproar. Right. There's too many people that are too invested in it. You still have a large majority of the public that will believe hook, line, and sinker whatever the government tells them. And even the ones that do question a little bit are still in the back of their mind like, well, no, there's no way they would actually lie to us, you know, because they're our government. They're for us, you know, and we get new people in there. So how could they pop? Because everybody has a way to be controlled. Right. It doesn't matter who you are. If you make it into politics, they've got a way to control you. Right. They're going to find a way to control you. They're going to find some way to gather incriminating evidence or get you in a compromising scenario.
Something. Everybody can be blackmailed.
And you are going to be under their control. And for most people, it's money. There's no way that these people go into public office, you know, barely rubbing two nickels together and coming out multimillionaires. Right. You know what I mean? Because
they're being paid to keep their mouth shut.
Well, not necessarily mouth shut. It's to push whatever line they want. Or it doesn't matter if it's pushing that, you know, 9/11 was, you know, a terroristic operation, and it was buildings were brought down by planes, and Building 7 was brought down by, you know, a piece of paper was on fire and caught the right draft and blew through the window and came down. You know, it started. Who knows?
They can always find
somebody to do that.
What did they say about Building 7 and why it came down?
They obfuscated that one. They never really gave anything.
But people just filled in the blanks and they were like, well, obviously something happened.
Yeah.
Nobody pushed that topic.
It was pushed, but it wasn't pushed on. If it was pushed on like the news or something like that, it was always shifted to another topic real quick. Right. You were always cut off. You were always spoken over. You know, nothing was ever. The only time it was ever talked about or pushed was through, you know, a conspiracy related show or somebody who was trying to bring upon a different topic or different narrative. Viewpoint. Yeah.
Right.
So,
but they would always make that person look crazy because they're just like, this can't be real. This is what the government said has happened. But if you look at the cold, hard facts, it just doesn't add up.
Well, and that was the thing with Alex Jones. I mean, Alex Jones has a lot of very, very good information on these topics. He put in a lot of legwork on it. Problem is, he's a very eccentric person. And he got wrapped up. You know what I mean? He gave him an inch to run on with him being crazy, and it discounted everything all the true things he brought up before. But this guy.
Subscribe now to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com to finish listening to the episode ad-free.
You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Hi, this is Ryan Lambert from the Monster Squad, and you are listening to You Can't Kill the Boogeyman.
Door creaks open, static on the screen. Pop that corn, cue the scream. Late in the closet, mask in the van. We're laughing in the dark, remote in hand. You can't kill the boogeyman. He keeps coming back again. Grab your snacks and hold my hand. It's you can't kill the boogeyman.
Hello, guys, and welcome back to You Can't Kill the Boogeyman podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Sammy.
And today, we have a very special guest with us. Who do we have with us today?
Elizabeth Kohler with Canvas and Crime. Your one-stop shop for everything.
Love it. So tell us about Canvas and Crimes. How did Canvas and Crimes come about?
Canvas and Crime came about just really by accident, playing around with some of my artwork and my love for, oddly, serial killers and true crime, and kind of combined it all. First character I actually made was Dexter, and from there it just went pretty crazy. BTK was my favorite, so I did a BTK character. And then, of course, I had to have Ted Bundy, and I found that as their stories were in my head, I could finally get them out as quirky little characters.
So I have a question for you. How did you fall in love with serial killers?
Oh, my goodness.
Because I'm assuming you like serial killers and true crime.
Yes. You know, I read my first serial killer book, which was it was about the Green River Killer. And I was a young teenager, really, and I was living in that area in California, close to SeaTac, which is where Seattle, where he killed many of his victims. And I was terrified, but interested at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, how does somebody do that? How do they be part of society and then take away? The mindset actually just fascinated me. Mm-hmm. I swear I don't kill people that I can tell you about.
So, good clarification.
I gotta ask, who is your favorite serial killer? I mean, if you had to,
it is the one. Green River. For a while, why? It was BTK, but the Green River Killer, he looks so gentle, he looks so caring, he looks so kind.
So did Ted Bundy.
That it just right, and Ted Bundy's good looking and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. But I actually found Ridgeway to be attractive, even though he's much older. But
tell us about that, because a lot of people don't know about the killer.
I'm not sure I know anything about that.
How did he kill? What was his victim like?
So the Green River Killer, he killed mainly all prostitutes. So sorry.
That's okay. We got two dogs too. What kind of a dog is it?
I have two pits.
Okay.
That one that's barking, we rescued from Guam. So.
Guam.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Yes. So.
So the Green River Killer killed prostitutes.
Yes, and he would strangle them. And his first cluster of victims, which I believe was around 7 or 8, was found at the Green River. You know, they found one, and as they're marking off the crime scene, we have another one over here, and here's another one under the water. That's where he buried the majority of his victims.
In the river.
And then it branched off into the woods from there.
Wow.
I'm sorry?
How did he get caught?
DNA did catch him. Okay. Mm-hmm. He was a suspect for quite a while, and they really just couldn't pin anything on him, because once you have a body in water, it's in technology, not like what we have now. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it came down to where he worked and DNA, and what he did was he painted trucks, big rigs. And so some of the victims on some of the clothing, they found specks of paint, and they were able to match that paint up to DuPont and the color and from there. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. And I mean, he lived a normal life. He had a wife. She was very happy. She had no idea. She had children, and he treated them very well. There's no signs of abuse in the home. But he would just, he got so erratic there at the end that he was killing at least one a week.
Wow.
He is considered one of the, I think he's number two of the most prolific serial killers in the United States.
How many did he kill total?
Verified was, what's his verified number?
48,
and I believe he confessed to around 79.
Wow.
Yeah, he's currently, he's still alive. He's currently on hospice. Yeah, he's on hospice right now. They're being pretty hush-hush. Right before he went into hospice, they actually pulled him into a jail cell, kept him there for about a week. Rumor has it that he is still trying to lead investigators to where some of the other bodies are that have not been recovered. So,
wow.
I'm hoping that those families do get some relief. Yeah. And that's part of the thing that I do like to talk about is there's so many victims out there that, you know, unfortunately with a killer like Ridgway who killed people that you didn't notice that they disappeared, in all honesty. Mm-hmm. But somewhere they had a mom and they had a dad and they had a family that wonders what happened to them.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Why do you think there's only been one woman serial killer? Why don't you think there's more women being serial killers out there?
You think?
I was going to say that are caught.
That are caught, right?
That are known.
But I think there's only been one that's been caught.
Well, you're probably thinking of Eileen Wuornos.
Yes.
You know, Eileen Wuornos, of course, she's the most notorious female serial killer. She's fascinating. She really is.
She's out there.
And I really believe with her, I think her first kill was in defending herself. I think she was being raped. I don't know what I can say on here or not.
you can say anything. Okay.
But, you know, and I think that happened. I think it was tragic and it happened. And she took off with everything because she did live a very risque life. And then she realized, well, hold on, now I have money and I have a car and now my girlfriend's happy. And that was a lot more money than I got from turning a trick. So I think it just became very addictive for her. And I think she had a lot of demons in her head.
Yes.
Most of the, and she was unique because she actually did use a gun. You know, which the other female serial killers, like Dorothea Fuentes, for instance, from California, she would poison her victims and, you know, chop them up and put them in the garden. And
I guess I can't say she was the only serial killer because Lizzie Borden killed three or four people.
Right.
So she's classified as a serial killer. Mm-hmm. So
correct.
I can't just say that she's the only one.
She's probably the most notorious.
Yeah, the one most notorious.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So
when people come to my booth, the female one they're always asking about is Eileen. So of course I've got her and I've taken her and put her in a little bit of a collage. I'm kind of strange. I have some old photographs. Some photographs that people have never seen before, and so I kind of bring that into my artwork and give you.
What do you think about Ted Bundy? But Jeffrey Dahmer. What did you think of him?
What did I think of Dahmer? He'll tear your heart up because you really want to turn back time and say, it's okay, we can make you fit in. You know, it's okay, you really do have friends. It's okay, we'll get you a boyfriend. You don't have to conform. You can, but unfortunately, you can't turn back time. So what he did to these men is an unfortunate circumstance of him wanting to be loved, in my opinion. I don't think he killed them out of malice. And what speaks volumes to me is towards the end there, he was actually trying to make them into a zombie, so to speak, so that they would stay, so they wouldn't leave. But yeah, he just got out of control, and it's ironic how he died in prison with a barbell, which is how he did his first kill, was with a barbell.
How did he die? How did he die?
An inmate beat him. An inmate beat him to death.
I want to, because there's some people that don't know how he died, that's why I wanted you to talk about it. So, did you ever watch the Ted Bundy on, not Ted Bundy, but Jeffrey Dahmer on Netflix? Dahmer?
Yes.
I thought it was so slow. I couldn't finish it. I was like, it's so slow.
I tell you, if you know his story and his history and how he killed, I have to admit, it took me 3 times to finally watch the full thing, because the terror that they put out there in that show was just phenomenal. It was very realistic to me and everything that I knew about him. So you're just like, oh no, this one's gonna die. Oh, this is, oh my gosh, they're really gonna show it that way. It was actually very hard for me to watch, because it was very thorough. It is slow if you don't know the story, and if you're not looking to learn about that, to learn his viewpoint, it is slow, and it does a lot of back and forth, but I thought it was very well done.
We got to the point where he stole the mannequin out of the store, and his grandmother found it. And I was like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? So,
yes.
And then I was just like, let's pick something. But we should probably go back and try to rewatch it. People have told us that it was great. It's been great.
Yeah, it's pretty popular.
It was so true to form, in my opinion, that it literally took me several times to watch it, because it's, to me, those are my horror films. You know, I see Scream behind you. You know, those are my horror, because I know that they were real, very real.
So you said your favorite killer was B2K, right? Bound, torture, kill.
Yes.
That's what B2K stands for. Bound. B-T-K. Bound, torture, kill.
Yes.
Yep.
Bind. Yep. Mm-hmm. Bind.
So, well, how did you get into him?
Ooh. Well, there were ropes and
Did you ever?
I'm really not sure. Back in when I was much younger, my father used to buy he bought me Nancy Drew, but he didn't. My father raised me, so he didn't know what was right or wrong.
Right.
And so, in addition to Nancy Drew, he also would buy detective magazines for me.
Okay.
Those are no longer published, because they were very graphic. They were not meant for teenagers or young women. And I believe that he was in, his history shows that he actually kept parts of that magazine. So maybe it was just a progression of following that. And then when he came out, I was like, oh, I used to read that. That's weird. And, you know, just following up, and I was fascinated by him. I have a hard time with him because he did kill children. And those are usually the hardest cases to listen about or study about. But unfortunately, it's, you know.
I think he's still alive. He's in prison for multiple years.
Yes, he is.
Did you see the documentary on Netflix with his daughter?
I have not watched that one yet. I just haven't got around to it. I think she's very fascinating.
Yeah.
And I applaud her for coming out, because many of these family members, and in fact, I have to say, though I haven't watched hers, I have to say she was almost an inspiration for me to keep moving forward of creating my weird art. And in fact, that's B2K right there behind me.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I thought. The B2K was the part in the glass. Mm-hmm. I was looking at that and being like, I'm pretty certain that's what that is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's pretty cool. We have, my husband makes several displays. We got several new upcoming ones, but I sidetrack, which is, he puts them pretty true to form. It's pretty amazing. But
So you guys are both into this, you and your husband.
I dragged him into it, and he, I think, absolutely loves it. Yes.
Okay. 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 That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. He says that's survival. He's got to be a step ahead of me, I think.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
In fact, he was watching, what was it? Mindhunters. Mm-hmm. And I was cleaning the house, and there was, in one of the episodes of Mindhunters, there's a gentleman at a copy machine, and he's doing something. And I looked up, I was like, oh, that's BTK. Their stories just run through my head. And he was like, mm-hmm. How do you know that? That nobody's even said that. It's just a copy guy. I'm like, okay, well, I guess you have to watch and find out. And yeah.
Yeah. What did you think of Mindhunters? Because that's another slow.
I loved it.
It was a great build, but it was very slow to form.
Mm-hmm. And again, it's another one of those, if you know your serial killers or even your cult leaders, because Manson's in there, the producer, however they did this is so true to character, and the mm-hmm. the vision that I mean you would think that's BTK, that's Manson, that's, I mean, it to me it was just phenomenal how they put it together. I don't know why they're waiting to put more out.
in the show they were interviewing a serial killer with glasses. He was a big guy, and they brought him like a woman's
Ed Kemper.
Shoe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, the shoe fetish guy.
And he was like, I gotta jerk off now. And you guys can,
about that guy.
He was like, you guys can watch if you want to. And I was like, what? He literally did it. He literally turned around. He was like,
yep.
And I was like, what the hell?
And you're just like,
I mean, if you're in prison and you're an FBI agent, you probably see some crazy stuff.
Probably.
Yeah. I would imagine. I mean, yeah.
Those people probably don't care. They're just like, I'm in prison. You guys can do whatever you want.
Yeah, what are y'all going to do to me? Put me in the hole where I'm going to do it again, you know?
Exactly.
So I will tell you something. My dad was a doctor, right? And he was doing his rotations at a psych ward, one of his rotations. And there, he told me he was interviewing a guy.
I like how he just slid that in there. He was a doctor at psych ward. Gotcha. Okay.
He was doing a rotation for the psych ward. But he was interviewing a guy for intake. And the guy was like handcuffed to the table, and the patient was like, oh, I'm gonna kill you today. And my dad was like, not today, sir.
Yikes.
And that always, stuff like that always brings me back to stuff like this, like, mm-hmm. you know, because there's clearly something mentally wrong with them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, you just can't wake up one day and be like, oh, I'm going to become a serial killer.
Like, maybe, hey, I think I'll do this today, you know.
Right.
Of course, there's me, so, but can't tell you about that yet.
So, but yeah, that's always fun, too. What other ones do you like?
Oh, what other ones do I like? Ed Kemper is very fascinating.
The guy with the glasses.
The one you were talking about before is Brunos. Brutus.
The actor that they got to play him in Mindhunters, if you put a picture of them side by side, they're spot on. I'm just
right?
like,
so she's saying, right?
I'm just like, how did right? they get? How do they do this? Like the casting for this?
How did that happen?
You have to probably see so many people to be like, that's our guy. Mm-hmm. So.
He's extremely fascinating because he's also one that's still alive and in prison. A lot of people don't know that what he does with majority of his time in prison is he reads for audiobooks.
He reads for audiobooks?
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So you could be listening to an audiobook and it could be Ed? Wow.
Yes.
Do they give him credit?
Yeah.
Do they say
that? I don't know, because I don't think he can. If anything, it's probably just some money on his books or what have you. But
yeah,
he reads. Wow. In fact, growing up, V.C. Andrews was another set of books that I would read. V.C. Andrews, Flowers in the Attic. and that's he does the audiobooks for V.C. Andrews.
Weird. I'm like,
wow.
Okay.
That's different.
That's really cool, actually. Like, I'm surprised they let him do that. Somebody has to pay him for that.
You know, like I said, they probably just put money on his books or what have you. But yeah. Yeah. I mean, how old is he? Yet another one that. Oh, gosh. How old is Kemper? He's got to be 68, 70, close to 70.
Wow, you would think he'd be older.
77. Yes, you're right. 77. Get my backup over here. I'm horrible with dates.
No, it's all right. It's all right. But, yeah, that's phenomenal.
In fact, my husband, Tony, he's a great, so he knows, like, all their, the dates and the history and the numbers, and I'm more of the, this is how they did it, and this is where they buried them, and
so gotcha.
It's a good merging.
Yeah, apparently.
So, on your site, you have killer shot glasses that are like Dahmer. You had Ed or Bundy on there. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that. Mm-hmm. How did you figure out, let's do killer shot glasses?
That was a lot of my husband's idea. I enjoy sublimating products, and I was playing around trying to do other things, and I wasn't doing pretty good at it. And he came across that he wanted to put my characters on something that people would use. Mm-hmm. Yes. Versus let me buy this print and hang it on the wall. He wanted something that people would come back for and want to enjoy.
Right.
Which is, he came up with that, and I was like, what, killer shots? I like that. I like that a lot.
It's a really good ring to it.
It fits. Mm-hmm.
What serial killers do you have? I know you have Bundy. I know you have, what other serial killers do you have there?
I've got Bundy. I've got Dahmer. I've got Dorothea Puente. I've got Eileen Wuornos. Ed Kemper. I've got BTK. I have the Night Stalker. Now he's another intriguing one. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. My husband lined me up. There's the Green River. So
that's pretty cool. He does look very kind, and you know, couldn't hurt a fly.
Right. And you know, you get your popular Bundy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I try to pick the little things that stick out in my head, you know, for like, you know, Green River was King County, so that's why he's got the King County shirt on. And okay. The more you look, you'll see little, I guess the population calls them Easter eggs or what have you. So all of them have little Easter eggs in them. I even have one of me. You can actually buy my shirt.
Okay.
That's fun.
That is fun.
I love that.
That is pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
She's behind me.
Oh, she's got it.
That's really cool.
Okay,
really cool.
She's got cereal O's and hair up and curlers, and she's got a robe on. She's watching YouTube.
That's fun. So can you order custom prints? If I was a customer and said, I want a print of Ted Bundy, Charles Manson, and...
It's like a combination.
Yeah, a combination. Can they do that?
I probably could. Yeah, I could merge them together. You know, that's the great thing about technology. You know, once I scan my original art, then I can move them all around the computer and let them have a lot of fun.
So your background
When I first started off, I had about seven of them, mm-hmm. and I grouped them together like a group photo. So
that's cool. So your background is in painting.
Yes, yeah. I started off with fine art, and I still do some fine art. I very much enjoy that. With a lot of artists, you find that sometimes you gotta give yourself a break from one medium and move on to the other. And so that's where I started doing little characters and drawings, and I was like, oh, look what I can do.
That is very fun. Mm-hmm. So this is a horror podcast. I gotta ask this question. What is your favorite scary movie?
You'll think I'm a dork, but I have two. But my top, I don't know if it falls into the horror category, but it should, which is Jaws.
Yeah, that works. That works.
In fact, I got to meet Richard Dreyfuss, which was amazing. But yeah, Jaws is, and then after that would be Amityville Horror.
Okay. Amityville Horror, that's cool. Okay. Is that the new one with Ryan Reynolds or the older one?
Ooh, I haven't seen a new one. I don't know if I could handle it. I'm old.
Yeah,
they have
an older one, but Ryan Reynolds remade it. So.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, when I think of the original, and yeah, that was pretty scary.
Where are you based out of?
I am in Pensacola, Florida.
Okay.
In a panhandle, yes.
How long have you been in business? How long has Canvas and Crime been around for?
Canvas and Crime has been around for about 3 years now. I started off as EAK Creations, and that was a lot of my original artwork, my boats and my scenery and all that type of stuff. And my husband and I came up with the idea of Canvas and Crime when I started making the little characters. And I had been going to Pensacon, and at Pensacon I had two characters called Fred and Leon, which is a bird and a fish. They're best friends, and they would travel around Pensacola, and they got a little bit of a following, which I was very proud of. And mm-hmm. you know, because fine art doesn't quite fit in at Pensacon, you know, so
right.
I had a lot of fun with that, and that's where it just kind of kept rolling and rolling. And I was like, well, the serial killers aren't really EAK Creations. Mm-hmm. So we come up with a new name, and I'm loving it. I'm enjoying it. I finally get to, growing up like I did, you didn't talk to people about true crime. You didn't
right.
talk to people mm-hmm. about serial killers or your mm-hmm. interest or your questions. So now we have a huge true crime community and it's great to finally mm-hmm. get it out and talk about it and talk with other people that are like, oh yeah, I wondered that too, that type of stuff. So.
So what's, cool. I'm assuming you listen to true crime podcasts. What's your favorite one?
Bailey Sarian would be my top number one. Stephanie Harlow would be number two. They're both very great. And the show that I would like to eventually do would model after Bailey Sarian. So she does Makeup Mondays. She does murder, mystery, and makeup. So she does her makeup while she tells you about a choice
That's cool.
serial killer or what have you. Mm-hmm. And so I would like to paint and maybe draw and
that would be cool.
tell you all about maybe BTK.
Yeah, no, it's a good tie-in. I like that.
So you said the Night Stalker is another interesting person. Talk to me about that. Why is he so interesting?
Richard Ramirez, he is so...
The Cecil Hotel.
Most serial killers have a typical MO.
Right.
Ridgeway strangled. Ramirez didn't... It didn't matter. That's why it was so hard to catch. Sometimes he'd beat someone to death. Sometimes he would shoot them. Sometimes he would stab them. Sometimes he would torture them. And you know, sometimes he'd rape them. Sometimes he wouldn't. He was all over the place. And he had a lot of demons in his head. So he was very fascinating in that aspect of he didn't follow the norm, so to speak.
How many people did he kill?
What's his kill count?
It really isn't that high.
Yeah, it wasn't that high. About 8 or 9.
Wow. Okay.
You know,
that's not
some
bad.
Of them. He, you know, there was an elderly twin sisters. They were elderly. I think they were in their 80s, and he killed one, but the other one lived. You know, so he wasn't. He just liked to inflict pain.
I mean, I've seen news stories of him, and he just looked like he was possessed by a demon. Or he might have been Lucifer, the devil incarnate.
Reincarnate, yes.
Yeah, yes. He just looked like, from news clippings, it just didn't seem like he had a soul.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny you say that. I'm going to grab something real quick. And I'm not plugging, but this actually tells a story that when he started off, look how sweet he was, right?
Yeah.
And then there's him there. But then he turns into just evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people would say that. You know, he just looked evil.
He does. Look at him. Ugh.
Wow, that's creepy.
You just don't know. I mean, he started off, you know, what a lovely young man, what a, you know, good looking young man. And then, you know, so you have to wonder, was it drugs or was it just something wrong in his head or genetics or what, you know?
Wow. And he used to live at the Cecil Hotel in LA.
He did stay at the Cecil Hotel. Yes. So, yes.
But that's closed down now.
Yeah, so. Which is a shame that.
I know it's somebody.
I'd like to go there. We go there with a Ouija board and see if we can talk to him.
Yeah, I would love to go there and do like a paranormal investigation there.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and see if anybody would come through.
Yes, I think you'd be overwhelmed with voices coming through.
I can only imagine. Yeah, Lisa. Who was the girl, Lisa Lang? The Cecil Hotel, the whole thing.
Was she
Chinese woman?
She the one that went to the roof and then
yes,
yeah,
yeah, water. That was a creepy. Yeah. We watched that documentary on Netflix, and we were just like blown away about it. So, getting back to your shop, I'm fascinated because you know all the serial killer
information.
What do you want people to know about your store?
There's a click here to buy button. Oh,
yeah,
that's very important.
Yes.
I would agree. Key thing.
I think the biggest thing right now is everything is growing. It's growing fast. We're just it's just the two of us. So bear with us as we get product out there, keep checking back because we keep adding more and more. I have so many ideas in my head, just try to get them all out. And
it's hard.
Toy Box Killer will be next. I go to horror conventions, which is where I met you, so it's fantastic. Yeah. I keep wanting to say Spook Hall. I know it's not, it's Scary Dice.
Yeah, it's scary.
And so I'm already set up for the next two shows with them, and that's in Tampa.
Wow, okay.
My next one I'm doing is actually GalaxyCon, and that is in New Orleans.
Okay.
After that is CreepyCon in Tennessee, Knoxville. And I do have a section on my website where that is up to date, and it shows my upcoming events. Mm-hmm. So if you're wanting to meet me, talk with me, talk about serial killers, anything, I'm there. So I do love going to these conventions. It's amazing.
They're a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's, you meet so many people.
They really are, yes.
Mm-hmm. Our first convention, I told her that we were going to do this. And she was just like, what? And we literally had three designs because I do custom shirts. And literally I did three designs. Mm-hmm. We made no money at all that weekend.
Nope.
But I got a ton of stuff. Like, we interviewed a ton of people, so we put it on their site.
Yeah.
And just to figure out what we were doing. So our first official convention was Spooky Empire. Mm-hmm. And Butch Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
Butch Patrick, I didn't know who he was at first, but he did Eddie Munster in the Munsters.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I actually had to text her mom and be like, do you know who this Butch Patrick
guy next to us?
Because they set us up in the hallway and we were the only ones out there. So when I went back in the next day, he was there. He had the Munster Mobile parked up to the pulled up to the front.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, it's Eddie Munster. Mm-hmm. But without him being there, we would have gotten no business at all. Mm-hmm. Like, at least some people are like, oh, who are you? Mm-hmm. What are you about?
Right.
I was glad that he was out there.
Mm-hmm. It's tough. It really is. Yeah. And I can tell you my first several shows, actually, for the first over a year, no, we haven't made any... what's the right word I'm looking for? Profit, revenue. You know, but yeah. But that's okay with me. I love getting out there and seeing people, mm-hmm. and talking. I've always been very shy, so it's very it's very hard for me to do this, but here I am. So I love getting out there and meeting people, and the last few times at Scaradice, I've got people coming back to see me, which is amazing, and I love that.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite show?
My favorite show?
Yeah, like your favorite convention.
Scaradice is definitely right. Oh my gosh, I don't know if I could choose.
There's a lot.
Knoxville was amazing. The people there that run that place is amazing. And of course, I've got Pensacon, which is here in Pensacola. Mm-hmm. It's my hometown. I love that.
Yeah,
it's always nice.
I can't choose. Don't make me choose.
Okay, I won't. So, what's your store called again? And where can people find it?
CanvasandCrime.com.
And what is your social media?
I do have YouTube and I do have Facebook. Facebook, you can find me under EAK Creations. And all of those are also linked on my website. So if you lose those wordings, you can find me there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I encourage everybody, collect them all.
Yes. Go to everything.
Is there anything else you want to say? That something we didn't ask you, something that you want to put out there?
Not other than thank you. This is number one video for me, and I appreciate both of you, and I'd rather plug your service than mine at this point, because you've been amazing. I absolutely love you guys, and greatly appreciate this opportunity.
We've been promoting you on social media, all of our social medias, YouTube, the site.
Everything and some of those things, I'm old. Y'all got to remember I'm old. I got to remember what to click on. And I got to go grab my kids. What am I doing here?
I got you. And then when this comes out, we'll tag you. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll get you in the footnotes where people can...
All the links.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. So thank you.
We'll push some traffic to your way.
Yes, definitely.
So...
I would love it, and I look forward to anybody that wants to email me, reach out to me. Maybe you're coming to a show that I'm going to, and would love to meet everybody.
You said your next con is GalaxyCon. When is that?
GalaxyCon. GalaxyCon is July?
End of July.
It's in July.
I'm sorry, I don't have the date in front of me. But yeah, William Shatner will be there.
That's cool. That's very cool.
That's fun.
Want to see William Shatner.
Are you going to get an autograph from him?
No, correction.
I am going to try. I got his book, and so I would love to get his signature in there. So. July 10th to the 12th is GalaxyCon. New Orleans.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Go support her. Go see her at the show. Buy some of her killer shot glasses. They're very cool.
Yes, I love them.
I mean, you said people can reach out to you by email. What's your email?
Mm-hmm. It is eakcreations@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And next time we do this, we'll have to talk about the gentleman that's behind you and what serial killer was the inspiration behind the story Scream.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, that we'll definitely have you back.
Yeah, I'll do a follow-up.
This so would be part two.
I would love to be back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
I would love that.
Yeah, we can definitely do that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you're, nothing else, right?
I'm good. I greatly appreciate this time. I do.
Oh, for sure.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being on.
Bye.
Definitely go support her.
Thank you.
Her shop notes or her website will be in the notes.
Everything will be in the notes. Yeah.
So
linked below. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for tuning into this episode. And we will see you in the next one. Mm-hmm. Remember.
All right. Thank you.
Everybody's entitled to one good scare.
Yeah.
And we'll see you in the next show.
Bye.
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 You Can't Kill the Boogeyman podcast is produced and hosted by Robbie and Sammy Brooksby as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Podcast Network. Post-production and intro by Sammy Brooksby. Follow the show on Instagram at BoogeymanPod. You can also follow the Limitless Broadcasting Company at Limitless Broadcasting and your horror hosts at Robert1950 Studios and at The Samalam. We also have a TikTok at 1950 Studios. Email your creepy comments and spooky suggestions to us at boogeymanpod@gmail.com. Don't forget, everyone is entitled to one good scare. Have a horrific week.
Hey everyone, it's Albert Parker here. I'm the host of the new Hollywood Hustle podcast, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Welcome to the show where we stop gawking at red carpets and start following the money. We dive deep into the financial secrets that keep Hollywood thriving. Not gossip, not just celebrity dirt, real structures, real cash flows, the corporate chess moves that decide what gets greenlit and what gets buried, who actually owns Hollywood, who makes the real money, and who's just along for the ride. So what makes Hollywood Hustle stand out? We don't just report headlines, we unpack them. Now, how do you listen? Hollywood Hustle Podcast is available on all major podcast platforms. For ad-free episodes, be sure to subscribe to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com.